Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You ready for this?
Oh, I'm very ready.
I'm so excited. Okay, ready?
You ready?
Three, two, one.
Now, here's a look at what's sunny across Central Florida on 105.9 Sunny FM. Here's your host, Michael Rafferty.
January is National Blood Donor Month, and joining us by phone to talk to us about that is Dr. Andrew Scadam. Dr. Scadam is from Osceola Regional Medical Center. Dr. Scadam, thanks for being on Sunny Across Central Florida.
Hey, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You know, I read a statistic when I was doing the prep for this that said one in seven patients in the hospital will use blood. That's a lot.
Yeah, I think the need for blood has been there and will remain there as we take care of more critically ill patients with more advanced diseases. And this spans anything from traumatic injuries to medical patients that have cancers and other acute problems. So, yeah, quite often we tend to use blood in the hospital and blood products.
All right, let's dispel some of the myths about donating blood right away. First of all, there is a myth that says if you have a tattoo, you cannot donate blood. Is that true?
No, that's not true. I think if that was true, hardly any of us now looking at it would be able to donate blood. So there are some certain stipulations to tattoos, but for the most part, if you have tattoos, you are still very able to donate blood.
What if you are going to donate blood and you have a cold?
It just depends on how you feel. I think we don't recommend that you donate blood if you feel acutely ill or especially if you've had a fever. But for the most part, if you just have a cold with some sniffles, that's usually not prohibitive.
And it doesn't do anything to the blood you're donating. There's not going to be a cold in the blood, right?
No. The thing that we really worry about with donated blood would be any communicable disease that's blood-borne. But colds, flus, viruses, acute illnesses, respiratory things like that are not transmitted through the blood.
How important is it to know what your blood type is?
Well, it just depends on, I guess, your level of interest, one, but it's a question, you know, just as an example, I was talking to my sister about doing this interview earlier this morning, and she was unaware of her blood type. I think a lot of us are relatively unaware of it until there's an acute need to know it. But for the most part, for the average person, it's mostly just a curiosity that makes it important.
So it's not a life-threatening thing. I mean, like you should have it on you, because nowadays it's easy to figure that out, right?
Correct. Yeah. For the most part, if you need blood in the hospital, that's a very easy thing for us to figure out. You're not expected to know your blood type. And like I said, it's more of just a curiosity and something interesting to know about yourself.
Now, you see these blood donor trucks pulling up. Usually you'll see them at businesses and maybe they'll be there maybe twice a month or whatever. How often is too often to donate blood?
Certainly every day is a lot for most people, once a month. I mean, most of it's scheduling. You're not expected to donate more than once in a day. I don't know the exact regulations for how often you can donate, but once a week, once every other week is probably safe to do.
Now, let's get into the blood itself, because I know some of us only know what we see on TV in these medical shows. And you hear about plasma and you hear about platelets and the uses for that. Let's go through the difference. What's the difference between plasma and blood?
Blood itself is made of different components. The different components have different uses. So a lot of times what happens is when you donate blood or whole blood, they will take that blood and spin it down or fractionate it into components, which is red blood cells, plasma, and platelets for the most part. And they have different uses depending on what the need is in the individual.
All right. So then what's a platelet?
Platelets, I think you're most aware of those, help with clotting immediately. A lot of people now take antiplatelet medications such as aspirin to help them prevent clotting if they have heart issues. But for the most part, platelets contribute to clotting immediately in the human body.
I see. Okay. So like blood plasma is one thing and just regular blood is another.
Correct. And now we even transfuse whole blood. But for the most part, when it's given as a component of whole blood, depending on what the need is in the patient.
When you donate blood, when they get it, what happens after that? Because I know you say, well, how do they know what person has what, and maybe they have a blood disorder or something. How does that get sorted out?
Depending on who's collecting the blood, the Red Cross or or whatever company is doing it. When they take your blood, not only do they risk screen you for risk factors that could make you more prone to having blood-borne diseases, but they take the blood and they run tests on it to make sure that you don't have any communicable diseases, also to see your blood type.
What, you know, in your when you get a blood test, what can you find out from blood? Because there's a lot of information in blood.
Correct. I mean, at the basis of it, remember that blood carries all your genetic DNA and material in it, as do a lot of proteins in your body. So with the blood, a lot of people are most familiar with, if you ask someone what their blood count is, that's most likely referring to what their hemoglobin level is. So besides that, we collect blood in the hospital to look for all sorts of things related to not only the components of the blood and what's there, but are there electrolyte abnormalities? Are there any infections present in the blood? Are there any markers that tell us that there's other disease processes happening?
All right. So how important is it to get a blood test once in a while, or is it better to do it twice a year?
Well, that's kind of a broad question that can be answered in a lot of different ways. For the most part, there's not a lot of utility in getting routine lab work unless you're of a certain age and part of your annual physical. The other component of blood that people often get when they get their physical, besides looking at their blood level, is you can also see, you know, what are my cholesterol levels? What are my thyroid levels? So within a sample of blood, you can garner a lot of different information, but as far as recommending, it's kind of a blanket statement that you get blood drawn just to look at all the time. I don't think that's necessarily a good idea.
Well, you can't decide if somebody has cancer looking at their blood, can you?
Well, there are certain blood-borne cancers, and there are certain other things when you get a blood test and markers that can tell us or clue us into different types of cancers as well. So certainly if someone was seeing a doctor for symptoms related to an illness, that's often the first thing that's done is to draw some blood and run some tests and see if there's any markers or anything significant that they see that could point to a certain disease process.
Well, I know some people think of their blood as oil and they think, well, I get my oil changed every 5,000 miles. I get my blood looked at every 5 months or something. Yeah, but it doesn't really work that way, right?
I would not recommend that, no.
All right, so as far as blood donating, I read another statistic that said that millennials do not donate a lot of blood. Why do you suppose that is?
There's probably a lot of reasons. One of it may be, you know, I think one positive thing that is probably not related is I think a lot of the myths related to blood transfusions and giving blood have been dispelled, meaning the actual risk of getting blood and communicable diseases has gone down significantly, especially when you look at HIV and hepatitis. Why blood is actually not being donated, it'd be hard to put a finger on that. Part of it may be due to personal schedule, but it would be hard to think that it's not because of notifications or awareness. So I really don't have a good answer for you why this specific generation is donating less blood than in the past, but certainly something I'd be happy to look into or would like to find the answer to as well.
Yeah, well, information is key, so let's put some information out there. How much blood do you suppose a hospital goes through a day? A lot, right?
It's hard to say in a day, but I can tell you that, you know, in an average month, you know, just at our hospital, and you think about how many hospitals are just in the Orlando area alone, when you look at our hospital alone doing between 500 and 700 transfusions a month, when you extrapolate that to an area like Orlando, that's quite a bit of blood usage.
That is. I mean, that's amazing. And when you have blood on hand, how long can you keep it before you can't use it?
That's another good question. And, you know, a lot of times when the blood is broken down into components, some of those components have a longer shelf life, I guess you could say, than others. For the most part, you can expect to be able to keep blood and have it be usable for, you know, anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks. Some of the other components of blood, platelets and plasma, have a shorter shelf life. So it certainly is not something that has a long life on the shelf. And that I think that's why the need is so great, because it does turn over. You know, none of the components really last well longer than a month.
Well, that's what I was asking, because, you know, you could have all the blood on hand you need, but then after a month, you know, you got to replace it.
Correct.
All right. So let's talk about the easiest way to donate blood. Like if you're visiting your local physician, can you do it there at the doctor's office?
Yeah, generally not, just because they don't have the ability to collect, store, and distribute the blood. So there's a lot of local resources with the Red Cross. As you mentioned, this is National Donor Month to raise awareness. But there's centers you can go to. What you see the most is, and the thing that comes to mind for me, is the Big Red Bus for Donation. And it's an incredibly simple process where, you know, you can go in, you can sign up, you can give blood, you know, over your lunch break or any other time, go along with your day, be out of the bus, have given blood, helped your fellow man or woman, and on your way in under an hour.
Oh, see, that's good. Yeah, right. I know a lot of people think, well, I'm going to give blood in the middle of the day, and then I'm going to be weak and woozy, and I can't do my work. But that's not true.
I don't think so, no.
And you get a cookie, right?
Yeah, usually they have a whole bunch of snacks. I know the last time I donated, I got free movie tickets as well.
Oh, well, there's an incentive. Okay. Well, that's good. See, you don't know unless you ask. Go jump on the bus and give some blood. Maybe you could do it once a month, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Once a month is certainly safe.
All right. So there it is. I mean, it's very easy to do. And don't worry about it. I mean, they're not using the same needle, right? They're all disposable. They're always using clean stuff. And it's a very, very important thing. Like you said, you use a lot of blood in a month, and you just got to keep replacing it. So as they used to say, give blood.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a lot of us are looking for ways that we can help out or be impactful on a grand scale. And this is a very easy way that you can save a life, alter a life, improve someone else's life in your own local community.
That's right. And being that it's January, and January is Blood Donor Month, it's a good time to start a New Year's resolution of giving blood once a month. So check that out. Go to the Red Cross, check them out online, see where the blood bus is going to be. That's about the easiest way you can do it. And give blood. Well, Dr. Scadam, thank you so much for being on Sunny Across Central Florida.
Hey, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.